Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is March 28th, 2024.
Since the world is in turmoil, most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And I don't see how you can't see that, but so many don't, and the church is asleep. So this is the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get us in as it always is. The world, get out of the world. Quit loving the world and love Yeshua. Look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you not hear the sound of the shofar? You need to really heed the warning and get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. If you have an emergency, text Dan. Let him know you're going to call him on his cell at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can always find the Breaking News, Wichita, updates about the Wichita Mission Church, the radio program archives, and all of our contact information is on our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Remember, folks, we are a live radio program which simulcasts live on the net internationally on some FM, independent FM stations, four different MP3 streams, live video, audio, Twitch, DLive, Twitter, Rumble, YouTube, Bonebridge, and picked up by most every podcatcher out there. And we was planning like kind of like a relaunch, and that's going to happen now, I believe, in May, because we're going to add some other places that we commandeered, so to speak, to put our broadcast live out on. And so we're going to be expanded. That's going to come in May. Also, while we didn't have a first program today, just a second program, that all changed starting next week. We'll have Michael Snyder will be on, of course, the first Thursday. Carl Gallup will be on the second Thursday. After that, there'll be book guests all month, but look for some changes coming in May. Pray for us. Lift us in prayer. Anyway, on another note, let's thank our listener base.
And worldwide places like Perth, Australia, Toronto, Canada, Frankfurt, Germany, Warsaw, Poland, and in the USA, we have Long Beach, California, Salina, Kansas, and Shawnee, Oklahoma. And last week, Provo, Utah was the largest group that listened to the podcast when it post to the podcast. The radio podcast archives is branch.podomatic.com. That's branch.podomatic.com. All those podcasts twist my tongue.
Is that what that was? I was wondering. Okay, if you choose to, folks, send me a text to my phone. Say hi. How you doing, Pastor Dan? But just text me the name of the city in the United States or wherever it is that you are listening to us from. So give us a drop. Okay. Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, Father, and not our will. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth, Father. So please, Father Yahweh and your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, let's hear Brother Ben's song.
As I try to figure out what this world is all about, I know one thing without a doubt, my Lord is in control. Perilous times I know are here, men's hearts failing because of fear. one thing I know is clear, my Lord is in control.
That was a wonderful song by Brother Ben McKnight. He has passed away and went on to the other world. Anyway, but wonderful song written back in the, during Bill Clinton's reign of terror.
Yes.
Anyway, moving right along. Some funny things. I thought we'd start off with this one. Trump selling the Bible on Truth Social.
Yeah. Watch. The View host meltdown over Trump selling Bibles. Claim it's bringing fascism to America.
And by the way, they're King James Version Bibles. Go ahead.
By Allison Anton, the Western Journal, March 28, 2024. Leave it to the ladies of The View to take the most hysterical interpretation of ever utterance or action of Donald Trump's. And on Wednesday, the ladies of The View were downright apocalyptic upon learning...
Apocalyptic. It has to do with that word apocalypse anyway, yeah. Folks. Go ahead.
Of Trump's new endeavor in selling with country singer Lee Greenwood his God Bless the America, USA Bibles.
Right. Lee Greenwood said God Bless the USA. Yeah. So they teamed up together to do this.
Cool. These Bibles, as The Hill explained in their story, are on the subject, cost about $60 each. They include the King James translation of the Bible, copies of the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Pledge of Allegiance, and a handwritten verse of Greenwood's song, God Bless the USA. Hey, that's a good deal.
Yeah, it really is.
That's a real good deal.
Well, and it's a King James Version Bible, and it says it's supposed to be large print, and it looks like they're leather covers. So $60 for that Bible is probably...
And where you go on Trump, where you go get them at, Trump.com?
Well, you go to... You can just go Google Trump Bible, and it'll come up.
Don't take my story away.
Go ahead.
While Trump has not generally been the most flawless example of good Christian living, and his initial announcement was somewhat awkward, he should at least be applauded for his attempt to make America pray again. Amen. The ladies of The View, however, did not share this sentiment. In fact, they thought quite the opposite. As shown in the snippet of the show snared by the Daily Caller co-host Sonny Hostin, even thought the whole enterprise was blasphemous. Really? Why? Because it tells the truth?
Because Trump's doing it.
Wow.
But you got to remember, these are godless people anyway. They'd scream about any Bible being
there. Right. Hostin began by joking, you know, it's Holy Week, and so I cannot say what I would like to say. and Joe Bayer, the co-host, was who has seemingly been in a competition with Whoopi Goldberg to embarrass herself the most times on television, then chimed in with her two cents. Bayer said, "There's an old saying. It's a historical saying." That when fascism comes to America, it will be waving a flag and holding a Bible. Really? She then told the audience, take a look at the screen behind them, which dutified displayed the famous picture of Trump hugging the flag together with another Trump holding the Bible. And many people have waved flags and held Bibles without being fascist. What exactly was her point? Besides, Barish didn't even remember the quotation correctly. The quotation actually was, when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross.
Stop a second. Frank piped in and said that old saying that she's talking about, waving a flag and holding a Bible, that was an old saying by a communist.
And it wasn't holding a Bible, it was carrying a cross. That's what the actual quote was. It says, when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross. Said to have come from Sinclair Lewis.
Go ahead. Okay.
Although, as fact-checking website Snoops noted, it did not actually appear in any of his writings. Well, okay. Never mind that the most famous fascist, Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini. Were quite a-religious,
yeah.
Even anti-religious, especially Hitler, seen as Catholic priests and nuns were sent to the gas chambers along with the Jews. Alas, though the ladies of the View were not quite finished. Bear ended her point claiming that this is what we are looking at right now. Remember that in November. And Hostin threw in as the last words, it's blasphemous. Maybe they're being blasphemous.
They are. They're just completely off the wall, and everybody knows it, you know, except for, I guess, the other people. you don't want to read the rest of that, do you? Nah.
Yeah, who even watches The View? So, well, yeah, let them rant and rave all their little lying stuff they want to.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But... you know,
and Trump, you just keep right on selling that package. That's a real good deal. I might even buy my own self. If you happen to be tuned in there, Trump, way to go.
Okay, but case in point, you know, it also does have a lot of people, you know, won't look up history or anything like that. It does have the Declaration of Independence in it and those things in it. And so it is a good thing.
Yeah.
And so there's
and
nothing.
The Constitution. Maybe somebody will actually read it.
Yeah, well, they're... there's that. Anyway, yeah, I don't watch The View. What is it?
I have crackling chickens of my own. Yeah, that's me. Hey, all nine of mine are laying two again, 9 eggs a day. Woo!
You got nine chickens. Okay.
Well, I've got 12, but three of them are old ladies. They don't lay anymore. They're 4 years old.
So, okay, we're telling our audience about your chickens now.
Yeah,
so
your producer brought it up.
You mean Frank?
Yeah.
Okay, moving right along. So, okay, we have chickens and they have eggs. That's good. That's a good thing. Actually, you should have them yourself. In most cities, you can't have a rooster because they make too much noise. Okay, anyway, moving right along. Let's see how she likes this one, folks.
Scientists working to create human embryos with DNA from two men. Scientists are getting closer to creating human embryos using the DNA of two men and no women.
You know, you got to stop and think for a moment here. Beyond all the natural things, if you believe in God in any way, shape, or form, and you believe that He created everything, how can you not think that He believes that to be an abomination, and how long before would He let that go before He punishes the world? It was actually the fallen angels that came down and crossbreeded with women that eventually led to the corruption of the world. You know, there was about 100 years of that before Yahweh said, okay, I'm going to destroy the earth. And so we're talking about they were corrupting the pure seed of mankind. So that's what they're doing now. They're corrupting the seed. That's what all this is. This is corruption of the seed, whether it's with hybrids and all these things, but hybrid humans and on and on and on. They're corrupting the seed. It was a finality for him. So how long is he going to hold back? I don't think much longer. But go ahead. Read a little bit of it and talk about it.
The research is being conducted by scientists at Oregon Health and Science University. The process of what they are calling in vitro gametogenesis, IVG, involves creating a fake egg using skin cells and fertilizing it with sperm. Researchers at OHSU documented the technique known as in vitro gametogenesis, IVG, is in a mouse model through preliminary steps that rely upon transferring the nucleus of a skin cell into the donated egg in which the nucleus has been removed.
That's good enough.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so basically, you know, we don't need to read the whole thing. Basically, if you want to, you can find it at Gateway Pundit, but, you know, even Frank even says, even artists get mad when you cross off their name and call the painting yours. And so, you know, so if a human being's going to get mad, Yahweh isn't happy about any of these things that's going on. You know, but, you know, he is long-suffering and everything. But let me tell you what, we are already under judgment. We have bad rulers and the things that are allowed and are going on. It is because we are under judgment, you know. And I believe everybody is going to be tried and tested first, you know. I just severely believe that. Okay, here's some good news.
Okay, blood on its hands. FDA will remove anti-intervectum social media website posts under lawsuit settlement agreement. The FDA, which denied any wrongdoing, said it will remove content warning people not to use intervectum to treat COVID-19 within 21 days. Plaintiffs called the settlement a big win for patients and for the patient-physician relationship. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, agreed to take down its website and social media posts warning people not to use intervectum to treat COVID-19 under terms of a settlement reached Thursday in a lawsuit alleging that the agency exceeded its authority when it directed health professionals and patients not to use the drug. Within 21 days, the agency will remove the consumer update why you should not use intervectum to treat or prevent COVID-19 with pictures of a doctor and a horse. The FDA posted the update on March 5th, 2021.
Yeah, and so there's the kicker. They told you that. They poked you and said, oh, come on, folks, you don't need to be using horse medication and everything. Knowing fully well the FDA had approved it and it's been used in human beings and everything. The reason they had to destroy intervectum because then they couldn't legitimately say the vaccine was the only thing there was to treat COVID because it was emergency use, and the only emergency use means because there's nothing else. And so that's why they destroyed it, but now they've been caught in court. And there's some different states that are trying to do some things to fix it where you can now sue the FDA or sue, you know, Pfizer and those companies that when they were authorized, there was a clause put in there that you couldn't sue them. Well, they're trying to do that, but in some countries in the world, they're actually holding murder trials over it, and so that's what should be done. we won't go into this one yet. Anyway, and so, you know, this is how there's so many people that died from COVID and
still dying from it. Well, from the vaccine that wasn't a vaccine.
Well, the vaccine allowed them to catch all kinds of other things. And so, y'all are dying of the vaccine, not of COVID. I don't know legitimately how many people died of that flu
You know, that actually died of the COVID.
Of the COVID, because it was the treatments that were killing them. They put them in there and put the respirators on them. And when
they were actually killed because they could have been saved if they had treatment.
Well, let me finish this chain of thought. Treatment from what? So I'm talking about not treatment from COVID. They put those things in them, and they got bacterial infections from the breathing apparatuses, and the bacterial infections led to pneumonia and things that killed them. So it still really wasn't the COVID. It was the treatments that they were given. They were, you know, it's even showing up in TV programs now. Shockingly, that of how they just put them in the room and they just have to watch them die, you know, and not give them any help or assistance. They, you know, I caught that in a program the other night that, you know, actually come out and said that. Well, we just have to just let them die. You know, I can't do anything. I feel helpless. Well, you weren't helpless. You were just following orders, and that is a form of helplessness in the sense that you chose your wave over your own. You chose wages over your own common sense and allowed people to die.
Yeah.
And you will answer to that. I don't want to be standing in front of Almighty and have to answer for that. I pray that, you know, I just lift you all up. Anyway, we're getting ready to go to break. Tell them where they can find us. We'll come back.
You can find all of the mission updates, radio program archives, contact information. All that information is at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com, and we'll be back in 4 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Whether you are pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-rath, or post-trib, whatever your position is, this book will help you to find the truth. If you're really looking for the truth about the rapture, I honestly believe you will find it in this book. It'll settle in your spirit because the truth is the Holy Spirit knows the truth about the rapture. And one of the reasons that the people other than post-trib can't seem to find peace about this is because the Holy Spirit is trying to tell them that they don't have the truth. That is, until they find post-trib. But either way, this is going to help you to find the piece about the rapture. I really recommend you get it. We offer them in shrink wrap sets of 10. 1 for 20, 10 for 30, and 20 for 50 at prophecyclub.com. 1 for 20, but don't do that. 10 for 30, 20 for 50, give you extras to give to your friends. Because once you read this one, you're going to be handing this to your pastors, to all of your Christian friends, and just ask them to read it. If they get through the first chapter, they're going to read the whole book, and they're going to love it, and it's going to help them to really find the truth about the rapture. How Pre-Trib One at prophecyclub.com.
In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on Earth. The Intentional Neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house, you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
Well, the music stopped, so that means we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin and
Linda Catlin, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. I almost said American Family Radio because I used to listen to it. Oh, that's why I paused. American Voice Radio Network.
What are you listening to? You're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. You're supposed to really identify yourself like that when you come back.
Okay.
Just for the record, I'm not.
How about this is Pastor Dan, Wendy Catlin.
Okay, now moving right along. How about let's just
Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network.
No comment. Anyway, folks. So okay, we always talk about the mission church a little bit. So, how's things going over there?
Well, it's going pretty good. We changed around a little bit since you've been gone. We only feed from 4 to 5 now so that I can get cleaned up and get back home here. But we're still doing, I still do over 100, like 113 was our number. And 113 in an hour is a lot of plates, believe me.
Right, 113 plates. And those people, we were open an extra half hour past what she's talking about, but those people, the reason that they cut back, which is a good idea, is because people were we gave them an extra half hour, and then when we did, then people kept coming later and later and later and later, and they abused the privilege, so they cut back the half hour, and it has got it back more in order, you know. People don't like rules, but anyway, we're still giving out things and clothing and all those other things. But what do you need? What are your needs right now?
Pretty much everything. Yeah, I'm really low on everything. I need plates and cups, and I'm out of forks. I got to get forks before we open tomorrow because I had 5 forks left. I have 5 forks left.
Well,
I have 5 left. Okay, and I need lids and cups and napkins and plates, and I've only got 3 rolls of hamburger left, and I'm completely out of corn. I'm still using I don't know what the number is, but the little cans that you use in your home, it takes 50 cans, and I'm still using the ones we took from our food pantries, but I'm completely out of number 10 cans of fruit and green beans and corn and diced tomatoes now, and pasta. I'm out of pasta, but I got rice and hamburgers, so I can make something tomorrow.
Okay, so let me talk for a minute. So basically what you're saying is everything's low at the Mission Church. We need a major restocking and to get everything that she's talking about. Folks, we're talking over $1,000 easy. So, you know, we really do need your help. There's been so many different extra expenses come in, and I haven't been able to jostle and do radio. Not having radio regular has hurt. You know, it's hurt donations and things, and me being able like to get out a newsletter, that's hurt us. So right now, we really, really do need your help. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church, but if not, pray about supporting our other expenses. Radio just costs a big expense every month. You know, so pray about supporting talk radio, and pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, because as you can tell, she's out of meat. We got meat for 3 more meals. That's what she said. Just said she got she got 3 rolls of hamburger. She takes a roll of hamburger with some pasta and feeds 100 people with it. Come on, how many people do that? You know, but there's the point. She's got enough for 3 more meals. She's been opening little tiny number 10 can foods. Takes how many cans?
50.
50 cans. That's
well, you figure if I do 150 cans, that's 2. There's 2 people, and that's the way it usually works out. You can usually get 2 people to a can.
Yeah.
And I noticed that used to be you open the can and most of it's liquid and about a half full of vegetables, like a bag of chips, you know.
Yeah.
But now most of the cans that we've been opening are packed full. They're packed full. It just really freaks me out. I'm just wondering if they don't know how to set the machines, or they're giving you more for your money, or I don't know what's going on.
Well, because most of them are cutting back on the amounts of stuff.
Well, the cans that we've been opening, and most of them are dated 2023, December. That's why we're using them all up, so we had to rotate out our stuff. But yeah, they're packed clear full.
Right. Amen. Okay, so pray about supporting what we do, folks. We are the last hope for so many, and all of us, every one of you out there, everybody, where all of us are responsible one for another. We are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
If you don't wish to help us poor again, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air.
You can donate online by Cash App, over the phone, by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
All right, folks, moving right along. There's a lot of things out there, but, you know, one of the biggest things that everybody's talking about is the Red Heifer sacrifices. There's going to be ones or not going to be one. Well, I have some insight into this that most people aren't even talking about. But before that we do that, let's throw this in real quick.
Okay, the mysterious illness that has been spreading among cattle in Texas, Kansas, New Mexico has been identified, and it isn't good news. By Michael Snyder, Subtrack.
Yeah, that's Michael Snyder's our regular guy. And this is a thing he put. Subtract's a new kind of thing that's out there. It's just another thing, kind of like a blog. But anyway, that's for something that he wrote.
Officials have been greatly puzzled by a mysterious disease that has been making dairy and cattle in Texas, Kansas, and New Mexico very sluggish and has been causing them to produce much less milk. So they decided to do some testing, and we now have the results. It turns out the mysterious illness is actually the same strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza, HPAI, that's been in the U.S. for 2 years. A mysterious illness that's impacted dairy herds in the Texas Panhandle, New Mexico, and Kansas now has a diagnosis, influenza A. USDA says genetic sequencing revealed it's the same strain of high pathogenic avian influenza, HPAI, that's been in the U.S. for 2 years. APHIS says the National Veterinary Services Laboratories detected influenza A in samples from several impacted herds in Texas, Kansas, and New Mexico. The virus is carried by wild waterfowl, which experts think is how the illness is spreading. The experts did not think that the bird flu would be a great threat to dairy cattle. Unfortunately, the experts were wrong.
Okay. So we got avian flu and bird flu.
And they're getting it out of their water from the birds drinking in the water.
Yeah, well, apparently that's what they seem to think. But what do these guys know and what can you trust?
So is it contaminating the beef that they're taking to market and that we're eating?
Okay, did you not read? What did you just read?
I didn't say nothing about...
This is about my wife freaking out.
I didn't say nothing about our hamburger steaks, did it?
No, we can still have Chuck steaks. What is talking... It said dairy cattle.
The milk. So it was affecting the milk?
Well, if it's affecting the cattle and making more sluggish... It has not. If it was affected to milk, they would have said it. But,
not necessarily, but okay,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, you got to throw that out there. So it's the dairy cows. It's not your cows that you're eating.
Oh, here it is. Okay, we got to go on. Scientists were able to confirm the presence of bird flu by testing samples of the milk from the sick cows.
Okay, there it is. Go ahead.
Okay, according to the USDA, as of March 25th, unpasteurized clinical samples of milk from sick cattle collected from two dairy farms in Kansas and one in Texas, as well as an orphanogenial swab from another dairy in Texas, have tested positive for the virus. So it is in the milk.
Okay, but did you read what it said?
Yeah, I did.
What does it say? It says unpasteurized milk is how they found it, because... Once the milk is
pasteurized, it kills it.
Yeah, you know, it kills the germs in it and everything. And that's why there's so many rules about selling. You can't sell unpasteurized milk. You know, it's illegal in most states, in fact. So anyway, watch it. But, you know, do you trust it? You know, what can you trust? Okay. Folks, this is the one we're going to talk about. This is actually the big story of the day. I'm going to try and see about reading it. Because I got a lot to put in here.
Go ahead.
Okay. Massive, this is from Michael Snyder. This is from his subtrack. And we talked about this on radio, and everybody's been talking about it. And some of the things that are happening is tomorrow's the 29th. On the 29th, well, I'll just read it in the thing, and I'll explain it to you as I go on. But don't bank on too much if they don't have. They say everybody's wanting to say, well, it's going to happen during Passover. It's going to happen tomorrow. There really isn't a timetable for the red heifer sacrifice. Is not a Passover sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that's done to cleanse everything. If he's going to make sacrifices on the temple or build a temple and so on and so forth. But it is it's something that has to be done at Passover or right before. It's just not that kind of a sacrifice. They don't have just one set day a year that you can do it. It's a sacrifice that could do at any time. You know, it's just like they're all talking about, well, in order to do the sacrifices, and this is the news that I'm going to bring to the table today, that everybody said, well, they got to rebuild the temple in order to have a place for the Antichrist, to have a place for sacrifices, for the sacrifices to stop. You folks miss a really, really big point on a couple of things because mainly you don't read your Bibles. But we're going to go into that in a minute. Anyway, this is from Michael's subtract. Since the time of Moses, only 9 red heifers have been sacrificed. Now, and they have to have red heifer has to be sacrificed in order to get the ashes to make the water to cleanse everything. That has to be done, otherwise you can't do anything holy. Okay. Now then, since the time of Moses, only 9 red heifers have ever been sacrificed. Now, a massive altar for the 10th red heifer sacrifice has been built in Israel. There's pictures of it. In fact, I'm going to include a picture of it today. And there's a tremendous amount of speculation that it could happen really soon. Well, yeah. But it really doesn't have to do with Passover. It has to do with other things. In September 2022, 5 red heifers were flown from the state of Texas to the land of Israel. One of those heifers has been disqualified, so there's 4 left. Okay, but as Michael goes on to say, there's an official ceremony must be done, and they have to do that. Will it happen in 2024? Well, it has to do with the other thing. The heifers can't get too old. They've been waiting for these heifers for thousands of years, you understand, but they just now came up with it. They're not going to miss the opportunity to sacrifice these to get the ashes, even if they don't want to build the temple for 10 more years. They can still make the sacrifice now and make the water, the holy water, let's just call it that, make the holy water to sprinkle, and it will keep forever. Unless they lose it somehow. But if they let the red heifers get too old, they may not get another red heifer for thousands of years. They've been waiting for 1,000 years. So will they? I believe they will sacrifice a red heifer. And the timetable depends on how old they are. Okay, anyway, according to CBS News, a massive altar has already been constructed. We covered that. A red heifer sacrifice would need to happen on the Mount of Olives, and the land where the sacrifice would take place is owned by Rabbi Yitzo Memo. Now, I'm going to cover that, but the land where the sacrifice would take place is owned. Yeah, they built an altar there, but I got better news for you than that, folks. According to those working on the project, the ceremony of the red heifer needs to be performed on the Mount of Olives, was in a place that would have looked directly into where the temple stood. So, okay, they were within eyesight of the temple. Keep that in mind. The land directly east of the Temple Mount, purchased 12 years ago, meets both of those standards. Yes, it does. Rabbi Mario owns the land on the Mount of Olives. Anyway, concerning the specifics of the land, he told CBS, it has to be exactly on the front place that the priest made the ceremony can see the Holy of Holies. But the clock is ticking. Okay, what is this land? Here's a case and kicker of it. Yeah, most people haven't even ever heard the word. It's in your Bible. It's called Shiloh. Have you ever heard of Shiloh? Shiloh is the place where, let me see if I can, here it is. Read this.
Joshua chapter 18, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up a tabernacle of congregations here, and the land was subdued before them.
Okay, this was a mobile tabernacle. This was the tabernacle in the wilderness. You know, that's the first one they built. So what was in it? It had a holy of holies. It was a temple. It was a portable temple. And the Ark of the Covenant was in it. So where was it at? It was established in Shiloh. Shiloh's right next to the Temple Mount. Shiloh is also where they built a temple, and they've uncovered the workings of the temple as they are doing digs there. But that's what they did there. So if the temple was there, what was they doing?
Getting ready to clean the land to build one there?
No, they had a temporary temple, but they had to do sacrifices at the temporary temple. Mm. So all they have to do is resurrect.
Temporary temple to sacrifice the red heifers and get their...
Well, they don't even have to do the red heifers right there. That they could do the red heifers in Shiloh or whatever. But my point is that everybody says a temple has to be rebuilt in order for them to do sacrifices. It does not have to be built on the Temple Mount. And the biggest problem with rebuilding the temple is the fact that the Muslims have their garbage up on top of the Temple Mount. So if we destroyed that to build a temple, it's caused World War III. So that's the biggest roadblock in not building the temple. But they don't have to build a temple to do sacrifices. All they got to do is build another tabernacle of the congregation or tabernacle in the wilderness and do their sacrifices there. And it's legitimate to do it in Shiloh because David did it there. Go ahead.
But the third temple... The real third temple is going to be built by Yeshua, correct?
Did you read that, or did so you did that from memory?
Yeah.
Good girl. Good girl. Well, I'm going to bring that into the thing. See, look, Jews. There's most things that you. This is something that Jews understand, and most people, if you really read your Bible, you would understand it also. That. In Ezekiel, and I had hoped to get to this, I'm going to try to. Anyway, in Ezekiel 39, you have the Battle of Armageddon. You have the Battle of Armageddon. And the Battle of Armageddon, you know, and I wanted to read Ezekiel 39. I don't think I've got time. But then Ezekiel chapter 30 starts talking about the vision of the temple. Well, Yeshua is the one that builds it. The final real temple is what Yeshua does after he kicks the Antichrist and all that and subdues the nations. He builds the temple, you know, and all the measurements are given in the temple. The vision of the temple is from Ezekiel 40 to the end of the Ezekiel. But here's where the Antichrist comes into play. So if they build a temple and start having sacrifices, here's the deal. The Jews believe that Messiah is a man. They do not believe that he is a God. They don't believe like us that he's a God, and that they don't believe in Yeshua. So right now they believe that the coming Messiah is a man, a great war general that will conquer the nations and deliver them from everything. That's what they believe. That's what's in their literature. Okay. So they're expecting a man. So but they also believe, there's Muslims, they believe that their Messiah, that Messiah will come if what? If they do the heifer thing and they start laying the way to make sacrifices, and they believe Messiah will come. Now this opens the door wide for the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you could have a man come forward. And I'm not saying this is absolute scenario. I'm just telling you this is one of the things that can play out with the Antichrist. So then an Antichrist, a savior of Israel, could come forward and help them to build that and do the abominations and stop the sacrifices and doing everything that's in it. And so right now, you know, this red heifer thing pulls a trigger on the tribulation. If they do this, you we're there, you know. We're there.
Don't my memory recall back that wasn't Trump going to build a temple or something over there?
Trump wasn't going to build a temple.
Oh, I thought he was going to do that.
No, Trump's not.
I got that somewhere. I don't know where I got that.
No, they just said, what everybody said with Trump going in there and causing peace, that everything that's positive for Israel, in some end of the sentence, it comes up, well, that means that they're going to start building a temple.
Oh, it was just talk.
Yeah, it's just talk. It's just rhetoric. And see, that's another thing. You have to be knowledgeable to cut through the rhetoric, you know.
There's a lot of gossip out there.
Well, if you're Bible knowledgeable, then you know what's rhetoric and what you're not, you know. And, you know, but that's what was part of my job is that I did it for the people. If you go to the website or whatever, you'll see a lot of news articles. It's because of the fact that, you know, I've been doing this many, many years, and I can tell when the garbage is and when it is. Yeah, do I get fooled? Of course I get fooled. I'm a human being, and I'm not right 100% of the time, and I miss things, you know. I blink my eyes, and I miss things because the news media comes like that. I mean, one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. But, so anyway, also, the 29th, tomorrow. Tomorrow, though, is a special set-apart day that they do. They call it the Red Heifer Shabbat because it's a Sabbath before Passover, you know, falls into that, you know, because Passover isn't, well, you know, we know Passover is the
24th. He's on 14.
Right. Anyway, and so this is a thing that the rabbis just do on the 29th, you know, and they dedicate this Sabbath to the Red Heifer. So could there be a red heifer sacrifice tomorrow? That's a strong possibility. It could very well be. Will they make that sacrifice soon? I believe they will. I do not believe that they will miss the opportunity of sacrificing at least one of those red heifers to get what they need, the ashes, so they can do this, because they've waited thousands of years for these heifers. You know, it would be just silly, especially when after they make, you know, get the ashes and everything. The ashes aren't like, well, a quart of milk, you know, it's got to be drank by a certain date. They don't expire. You know, so should they, would they do it? Yeah. Now then, also Hamas, one of the excuses that they used for attacking Israel was what? Was they heard, well, they knew that Israel got the red heifers, and that they heard that Israel was going to sacrifice the red heifers, and so they wanted to stop it, you know, because to them, red heifers means Temple Mount, you know.
And that stuff's there.
And so that's one of their excuses for doing the attack on, you know, the recent attack on Israel and the war and so on and so forth. But so all eyes are on Israel. They're talking about it, and you know. But don't be fooled. This is what I'm telling everybody. Just don't be disappointed like a lot of people are. There's a lot of prophecy people out there that are banking on it happening over this weekend. Don't be disappointed if they don't, because it doesn't have to happen this weekend. There's not a biblical. Show me in the scripture where it says it has to happen this weekend, or it's on or during Passover. It doesn't say that at all. You know, it's not a Passover. It's not the Passover sacrifice. You know, and so it could be done later. Now, what I did hear is that among the people that have the heifers, that they're talking about doing it before, what's the next holiday after Pentecost. They're talking about doing it before Pentecost. But then again, and that's the most pliable time that they would do it, between now and Pentecost, because then you start to count down to the fall feast, which I can't wait for. But speaking of Passover, I pray you guys, if you folks have never been to a Passover service, you try to find a Messianic congregation or watch one online and do it yourself, because it will open up to you what Yeshua did, you know, for Passover. And you know what the Last Supper was really about. And he did it on the 14th, just like the Bible says, and just like Moses did it. And so that's the kicker. It's on the 14th, and then...
And it's also two separate. It's also unleavened bread and Passover, then unleavened bread. The whole thing is not Passover. Passover is one day and it's not a Sabbath.
Amen. Amen.
However, the first day of unleavened bread is a Sabbath, so
it's a high day, yeah.
I don't see how they can do it on the first day of unleavened bread like they do, but for me and my family, they will do Nisan 14, like the word says specifically. The Passover is Nisan 14, the first day of unleavened bread is Nisan 15.
Well, I'm like this. Moses did it then, Yeshua did it then, so.
And the Catlins do it then.
Yeah, amen, thank you. All right, tell them this real quick. And we'll
okay, you can donate online, by Cash App, over the phone, by mail-in check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. If you don't wish to help with the poor, please consider a donation for radio airtime, because it's not free, and that's what keeps us on the air.
Okay, folks, and also let me throw this out there. I've got some radio guests lined up, but if you got somebody you'd like to see us talk with, or you yourself might want to speak with us on radio, get a hold of me. 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. Send me a text. I'm lining up people because we're going to expand radio, and that's coming in May, but we're going to start booking people now. But remember, folks, there is only one true God. Who is he? He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father.
Remember, always be a blessing to others, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it's like praying for Messiah's return.
Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please bless and keep him, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace, Father, like no one or nothing else can. Well, until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and
Shalom.
You all be blessed.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.